As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, your fearless leader, Mickey Garris. And it's good to be here today with you on this fine Saturday afternoon. Such an exciting week, my friends. Oh my gosh, lots to talk about. Lots of big news stories, stories that we've been sitting on the edge of our seat to find out what was going to happen. Stories that actually change this nation, change the course of this nation. What does it mean for you and I moving forward after some of the things that have taken place this week? So lots of political stuff. But first, we need to talk about hunting. Because I know you guys have been wondering, how did he do? I told you I was going elk hunting. I told you I live for elk hunting and just been looking forward to it. And I've been sharing my stories with you. So I know you guys want to hear what happened. Did I get my elk? Did I fill my tag, or am I eating tag soup? So the sad reality is, my friends, I am eating tag soup this year when it comes down to elk. But, you know, the first coastal season, it's only 4 days, and it's a rough hunt. But like I said, it's always a blessing to be out there. I had an awesome time with my son, my friends, and I spent a lot of quality just alone time out there where I just got to reflect and do a lot of thinking. And as always, I enjoy God's country out there. But it was not without any excitement. Yes, we did definitely get on some elk and chased a herd around for a few days. You know, it's one of those things, I go down deep and I hunt in places that a lot of people won't go to. I travel a little bit farther than most people are willing to travel. And then I hike in, and me and my buddies, we go into some of the nastiest stuff there is because we want to get away from the crowds. We don't like hunting where there's 1,000 people out there, and we call that combat hunting. And you're just not going to have a lot of fun or success. And then there's obviously there's people out there that aren't as safe as we would like them to be. And so I just try to avoid all of that. So we go out a little bit further. We go in a little bit deeper. We go in some nasty places. But typically, you're in a better area for hunting. You're in an area that's going to have more game, have game that's not chased around. And it's normally more a much more beautiful country, too. So that's what we do, and this year was no different. We went up there, and we hunted hard. We walked miles every day. We hunted every single finger, up and down, crazy steep ground. And when I'm talking steep, my friends, I'm talking, you know, you're sliding down it, and it's so steep, you know, when you're standing up, your nose is almost touching the ground when you're vertical. So it's that steep. And when you're coming up some of these hillsides, sometimes you're having to grab onto the ferns and anything you can get a hold of to help pull yourself up. So it's just a lot of work. And we go out, we park, you know, usually, and we dive off the side, and we'll stay and hunt that area all day long. And we'll just kind of pick every single finger, and we'll hunt down and up and down, and then we'll hop over the ridge and hunt down and up and cover every single finger there is. And normally we're alone. We go up with a group of friends, but once we get to the area, we separate so we can cover more ground. And it's just, it's peaceful, and you know, it's definitely a lot of work. I was joking around, and it's really not a joke, actually. There's something about elk season that's magical, and in regards to what my body's able to do, both mentally and physically, things I would not be able to do any other time during the year, things that I just wouldn't do any other time during the year. You know, I'm not, you know, in the best condition. I have a few extra pounds. I told you guys I like to do a little bit of the eating, and, you know, exercising me, we typically don't mix, but I get out there during elk season, and it's just this rush of being out there. Maybe it's breathing that fresh air. Maybe it's being out there in beautiful country. Maybe it's just the excitement of being out there with my buddies. The excitement of you know, possibly seeing these big animals and chasing down this game and getting the opportunity to harvest one. And so it's like this adrenaline kicks in, and you're capable of going further. And when I say going further, I mean, sometimes we'll go out there and we'll walk, you know, 15 miles in a day, you know, in these canyons that are steep and up and down and the worst terrain there is, and having to cross several ravines and creeks and figure out how to get across these places when you're down in deep, figuring out which logs you can, you know, shimmy your way across. My son, actually, he found a good crossing spot, and the water below us was about 2.5 feet deep, and he gets across just fine, and I start working the way across, and it's only probably a 10-foot spread, and I'm on this log, and I'm getting across. I'm about 3/4 of the way across, and the log shifts and breaks down on that one side, and in the water I went. That was day one of hunting, and literally we was in like the first hour of the hunt, and I'm sopping wet and just wet the rest of the day. That's just how it is sometimes. That's elk hunting. I always tell my son that guaranteed that if you're on elk, if there's the worst place in the world that they could go, they're going to head there. And if there's water, they're going to figure out how to cross it. That's what elk do when you're after them. And, you know, my conundrum with elk is when you're going after them, if you get on that herd or if you jump a bull or whatever, do you just go after them hard, or do you just relax a little bit and take it slow and let them calm down so you're not pushing them too hard? Because when they're on the move in these canyons, in that terrain, you can't keep up with them. You know, it's a constant, you know, I'll get to the top of one of the fingers just in time to maybe see their butts diving over the other side of the other finger. And so it's just a game, you know, and you're hoping that you can outsmart them. You're hoping that you can figure out how to cut them off and head them off. And this year was no exception. We were on the elk. I was chasing them down in amazing country, a ton of sign. And I went to this area that this big bull eluded me last year. I jumped him last year. My son and I, we had an opportunity for a split second, and we just wasn't quite long enough, you know, by the time I was getting him situated, and we didn't get the job done. So this year I went to the same spot, and I thought, what's the chances of that bull being down in that hole? And this was just a hell hole. What is the chances of that guy still being there? And so I hiked down there and get down, and I know that it's an elky area now. So I'm, you know, and I know that if I see something, because of how steep it is, and I'm in this reprod that you're barely seeing through the branches, you got a split second if you see anything. And so I know I've got to be ready. So I've got my gun ready, and I'm bent down, and I'm going down this hillside, and I'm really going as quiet as I can, and I'm looking as hard as I can. And sure enough, that guy was down there again. And I get down there and I hear crash, crash. And I bend down to where I can finally get an angle, and I can see for just a split second. And I see just this dark gray muscular body of this ginormous bull just crashing up the hillside, almost vertical. It was just crazy. And just again, it was a split second. I didn't even have time to raise my rifle before he was out of sight, gone. I never got a shot, never had an opportunity to get a shot. And, you know, that's it. You know, that's the rush. You know, I was ready for that as much as I could have been. I was hoping that something would be down there. You know, I know that I only have a split second, but even, you know, knowing all that and being ready, it's still sometimes just not enough time. So you chase them hard, and you love every minute of it, but it doesn't always pan out for you. Sometimes you come home empty-handed, but you're never truly empty-handed, because you're making memories and you're enjoying yourself. And I had somebody tell me when I got back, when they heard that I didn't get the elk, they said, "Well, man, that's kind of a waste of time." And my answer is no, it's absolutely not. It's some of the best time, some of the most enjoyment I get out of my year is being up there in those mountains. And you know, it's just part of the hunt is, you know, sometimes you're lucky. Luck has something to do with it. You got to hunt hard, but having luck on your side is definitely a plus. But you should never come home and feel like you were a failure or be disappointed, because it's always a blessing to be out there, and you just got to take everything in and enjoy every moment of it. If you get that harvest, if you're successful and you get that animal, it's the icing on the top or the cherry on the top, right? But that's not really why we go out there and do it. We do it for the entire experience. And so you got to look at it as, you know, an optimist and being a glass half full type of person. Don't ever come back from hunting disappointed, because you're not really getting everything that you should be getting out of it if you come back disappointed. So that's my hunting story, and I'm going to hit it hard again next year. So I think they say the third time's the charm. I've been hunting this area hard for the last 2 years. That bull has eluded me twice now. I say that elk are a lot better at hide-and-go-seek than I am. And again, they move a lot faster through the mountains than I can move. So I figure next year, third time's the charm, right? You know, luck's got to be favoring me just a little bit, you would think. And so we're going to hit it again, and we're going to see what happens. Just looking forward to it already. It's a year away, and I'm already making my plans with my buddies. So what else happened this week? Well, I'll tell you, I had a birthday on Friday. So, ooh, happy birthday to me. And yes, I'm 39-ish again for the second time. So that, you know, crossing into that 40, I know I'm really 42, but I don't know, for whatever reason, that 40 was kind of a hard milestone for me to accept hitting. So the joke from then has, you know, always been, you know, I'm 39-ish again. So that's what I always tell people. How old are you? I'm 39-ish, you know, for the second time in a row. So that was great. Got to celebrate with friends and family. And again, it just makes you realize how fast time flies. It feels like, you know, my last birthday was literally, you know, yesterday. And you know, the years seem to be going by so fast. And I've noticed that as I get older, obviously the years seem to be going by so fast. Remember when we were little kids and it seemed like a year was forever? It just took so long. And we were just waiting and waiting and waiting. And now, you know, that I'm, I guess you can say middle-aged, I'm blinking and I'm like, oh my God, you're kidding me. A year's gone by already. Or, oh my God, it's almost Christmas again. We just had Christmas. I barely paid off my credit card from last year's Christmas. Things happen so fast anymore. Life is happening around us so fast. I think some of that is technology has advanced so much that, it's just kind of making life go by faster. We're not taking the time that we should be taking, possibly, to enjoy the finer things in life and enjoy people, having those conversations that are so important. Going out and just figuring out how to relax a little bit. Do the things that you love. Don't get so caught up in the hustle and the bustle, the work. We just got to take a breath and don't let life pass you by. It's never too late to get started on enjoying your life. And that's my recommendation for you. That's why I love hunting. That's why I go out and try to get other people into the great outdoors and enjoying everything that we have to offer. We still live, despite it being Oregon and everything falling apart around us. When it comes to our country out here, the mountains, the coast, we live in one of the most beautiful states there is. Our climate is one of the best climates that there could be, with the changing seasons and none of it being too out of control. It's just kind of mild and temperate. It's just pretty much perfect. And it's beautiful, you know. Anywhere we want to go, we want to go to the high desert, boom, we're right there. We want to go up to the mountains and do some snow skiing, boom, we're right there. We want to go out to the coast and look at the ocean, boom, we are right there. Anything we want to do is right here in this state. So get out there and enjoy it. I'm out of time right now. Don't turn that dial. We're going to be back in just 2 seconds. More with Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots. Welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, your fearless leader, Mickey Garris. Good to be here today with you Saturday afternoon. Such a big week, a huge news week, like I was saying in the beginning. We've been sitting on pins and needles all week long. There's been just some big news that we were waiting for, and we finally got that news on Friday. Thank God they didn't make us wait through the weekend. And the news we got, it was something that was really important to this nation, important to you and I moving forward and what things are going to look like and mean. And I'm talking about what everybody's talking about, Kyle Rittenhouse and his trial and the fact that the jury came back finally. It was scary, taking three days of deliberations on something that the majority of us, so many of us, after hearing the trial, hearing all the testimony, hearing the witnesses, watching the video, being entrenched in this for so long, studying the evidence and the facts, studying the laws of Wisconsin, for so many of us, those of us that aren't even lawyers, it was obvious. It was 100% obvious, and they unquestionably proved it in the court of law that what Kyle did was self-defense, and he was 100% justified in his actions. That was obvious really from before the trial even began, just hearing the facts that they had gathered and watching the video. It was all on display for all of us to see from virtually day one, right? It was a shock to a lot of us when he got charges. You know, it was a shock to me, I will say, but, you know, then when I thought about it, I knew that they were going to roll this into a political thing. And that's exactly what they did. And the DA and the prosecutors were having so much pressure, and it was obvious where they stood and what agenda they were trying to push, that the reason he was even charged for these crimes was completely political, because we knew before going to trial that what he did was truly justified and in self-defense. But nonetheless, that's the way our system works, right? You get these DAs in there that have an agenda, and they make everything political. Maybe they're trying to be the next senator or congressman, or, you know, maybe they're trying to get the next judge appointment. And the area that they live in, it might lean one way to the right or to the left, and they've got to play that political game. And they want to be the next big headline and win these cases for their constituents. And so I think that's what was happening here. It was 100% political. It's sad, because our system should not do that to people. Our justice system should be fair and balanced, and politics should stay out of it. We should just review the facts. Did you break the law? Yes or no? And that's it. But unfortunately, we're seeing more and more that there's so many of these issues that come up that are politically driven, and it's causing our justice system to be a little bit scary. And we can't always guarantee that people are going to get a unbiased trial, a fair trial. And that's exactly what happened. Kyle Rittenhouse, it turns out, is actually a pretty good guy. When this first happened, I didn't know anything about Kyle. And you might remember me talking that I thought to myself, This kid put himself in this position. This kid's an idiot for even being there. What a punk, 17-year-old kid. Whether it was justified or not, whether it was self-defense, he should have never been there. And I was kind of down on him. And I didn't know anything about him. But then over time, I started learning more about him and learning who he was. And this kid was never a bad kid. This kid was always somebody that had a servant's heart. And he just really wanted to help community and help people. And, you know, he went through a cadet program for the police. He went through a cadet program for the fire. He started working on his EMT license. He was a lifeguard. He did countless volunteer hours, just community service, helping clean up graffiti. He was down in Kenesha for all this time, helping clean up from the last go around, from the last riots they had, from the last acts of vandalism they had from these criminals, these protesters, these BLM and Antifa protesters that were vandalizing their entire community. And And number one, what we learned is he had a right to be there. He was there. His dad lives in Kenosha. And so it's not like he just randomly showed up in a state that he didn't belong in. His dad lives there. His dad lives in that community. He was active in that community with volunteering for a long time and with working as a lifeguard in that community. It was his community. And like I said, from the get-go, and knowing everything we know about him, what he's done, from the time he was little, he has a servant's heart. He wants to help community. And so when the town was under attack and people came in and started destroying people's property and their businesses, this kid took the call and he went down to see how he can maybe help things better, maybe help his friends out, maybe protect somebody's business. And he took a first aid kit because he was aware that there were people that were going to be violent, possibly people that might get hurt, and he wanted to help those people. He had some medical training, and he also took a firearm. Now, originally, remember, they said the firearm was illegal. He crossed the state line with it. He didn't have the firearm. He did not possess it legally. It was illegal for him to bring it from where he lived with his mom over to Wisconsin. And that's what they were reporting. Well, it turns out that the firearm was indeed legally in the state. It never crossed state lines. It was not an illegal firearm for him to possess. He obtained it legally. He did not break any laws with that firearm. And he did everything right, really. He went there with the firearm, though, because he understood that there was a chance that there was going to be some violence. And he wanted the ability to protect himself. And this kid was going to be there no matter what. The more I learned about Kyle, the more I learned about how he was wired, I understood that with firearm or without firearm, he was going to go and try to help. And so thank God he had a firearm, because the nightmare happened, right? His life was in danger. And if he didn't do what he did on that night, he might be dead. Stick with me. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back with more of this on Patriot Uprising Radio.
Back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, your fearless leader, Mickey Garris, and it's good to be here today with you Saturday afternoon. We were just talking about Kyle Rittenhouse and what he did and the fact that he was acquitted by the jury, thank God. I was telling a little bit of a backstory, though. Remember, we heard all the stories about what we were told by the media. The lying, we can't trust them as far as we can see them, liberal media. And remember what we were told by President Biden, that Kyle Rittenhouse was a white supremacist? Well, it turns out that everything they said and the stuff that they were telling us about the firearm and whether he should have had that firearm, whether it was legal or not legal for him to have that firearm, where the firearm came from, it turned out that they were lying to us the entire time. So we already covered the fact that the firearm was legal. It was legal for him to possess it. It did not cross state lines. We covered the fact that he was tied to that community. His father lives in that community. He works in that community. He volunteered in that community. That was his community. It wasn't like he just randomly showed up and tried to be a vigilante, right? That's the way they were painting it. And then we were talking about the fact of the way he's wired and what we know about his servant's heart. He was going to be there helping no matter what. And I'm so thankful that he decided to take some sort of protection, because the nightmare happened, the worst thing that could have ever imagined. The mob turns on him. They start attacking him. Violent mental people, that's the other thing that the media was not giving you an adequate picture on. These people that got engaged with Kyle Rittenhouse are felons. Long criminal history of of severe crimes, violent crimes. These are not good people at all. It's not like, you know, the people that were engaged in this scuffle with him didn't have a criminal record. Kyle did not have a criminal record. In fact, Kyle was always on the right side of the law. But these people, absolutely, they were felons. They had criminal records for doing violent things to other people in the past. And they targeted Kyle, and they came after Kyle. And thank God he had the ability to protect himself. Now, I said from the get-go, should a 17-year-old kid be there in the first place? And obviously, if my son, you know, is in that age and there's rioting going on and, hey, Dad, I'm going down there. I'm going to be, no, you're not going down there. You don't have any business being down there. As a father, as a parent, we want to tell our kids no because we want to protect them. We don't think that they have mentally, they're not equipped yet to deal with those things. We don't want to see them put their lives in harm's way. So as a parent, you're going to naturally say, no, you don't want your child there. I don't know what the backstory was. I don't know if Kyle asked permission from his dad or his mom to go down there. I think his dad and mom knew that he has a servant's heart, knew that he was out helping people. My guess is they had no idea how bad it was going to get and how violent things were going to get. There was pictures of Kyle Rittenhouse earlier in the day when things were pretty calm, scrubbing graffiti off the wall and things like that. And I think that's what they assumed was happening. I think things escalated as the night went on very quickly and got out of hand. In my mind, I think there's no way they would have initially let him go down there had they known it was going to be the way it turned out to be. Nonetheless, though, we don't even know. Did he get permission? Did he even tell them? Did he just go on his own? A 17-year-old kid sometimes will do that. When I was 17, I was running all over. My parents didn't know where I was all the time. You know, they're at the age where you start giving them a little bit longer leash. You start trusting them. You know, you tell them, okay, just make sure you're home by such and such time. They can drive themselves. So you don't always know as a parent where your child's going to be. So should he have been there or not? You know, we can debate that. We can debate that. I question whether a 17-year-old should be there. But then as I learned about Kyle, I also understood why he wanted to be there and help people. And I have to say that I've grown a respect and admiration for him and his servant's heart doing that. I'm glad that he took a firearm because we know now that if he didn't, it might have been very different for him. And he might be the one that's not coming home to his mom and dad now. So the point is, though, the prosecutors, they came after him because of a political reason. The media lied to everybody. We watched this trial. We got all the facts from the trial. It was obvious. It was absolutely obvious that what Kyle ended up having to do was self-defense. If he didn't do it, he probably would not be alive today. And then the jury, they take 3 days to deliberate. Now, that is scary. That, you know, when they take that long, that typically doesn't go very well for the defense. I was really starting to worry for Kyle. I can't imagine how his family felt. I can't imagine how he felt when they announced that he was not guilty on all charges and he just kind of collapsed. He starts crying and collapsed. He can't even hold himself up anymore. My heart broke for him. I was happy. I was so excited that the jury finally, after 3 days, did what was right. But I understood the pain and the anguish that he was going through, and my heart broke for him in that moment. And I'm not going to lie, I choked up myself a little bit and teared up a little bit. It was an emotional experience for me to watch that. And like I said, I live and breathe this stuff. I teach people self-defense. I teach people, you know, various gun classes, concealed handgun classes. And so I've been using this case as some teaching material and discussing a lot about what's going on in my classes and is it justified force or not, lethal force, you know. So I really was embedded in this and wanted to know what was going on because it's part of my business and it's part of what I do, wanting people to have the right information and knowing how to protect themselves. And like I said last week, sometimes it doesn't matter how justified you are, how right you are. there will be consequences. And those consequences for Kyle was the mental anguish he went through all those months with these charges, or initially being arrested and actually going to jail, having to post bail, and then have to go through the system and the trial, and just the emotions that he went through for that. He ended up, he was proven in the court of law that what he did was 100% justified, but he still had severe consequences because of those actions. I think Kyle handled it better than a lot of people would have handled it. I think he kept his composure better than most people could have. And in that moment, in that night when, you know, he had to defend himself and he took those lives, if you watch that video, he kept his composure there better than most people would have too. He showed great restraint. There was other people attacking him that he would have been justified in shooting, and he didn't. Like, for example, the black man that was kicking Kyle in the head when he was laying on his back on the ground in the street, and he was trying to stomp on Kyle's head. Kyle would have been justified if he took that man's life too. If he shot that man and that man died, Kyle would have been justified. He didn't, though. He tried to fight and run away. He did not try to take that man's life. It wasn't until he had no other choice that he actually raised his firearm and pointed it and was able to stop that threat. So even in that moment, he had great restraint and just showed excellent control. And had he taken further action, had he taken more lives because he was being attacked, he would have been justified for those too. So it's just really interesting that it took that long for the jury to deliberate, and they came out on Friday and they finally came out with the right decision. Thank God. But why this case is so important is because had they convicted him, it would have changed self-defense for everybody. And that's really what the prosecutors were after. These prosecutors, God, they were the most crazy prosecutors I have ever watched. They were the stupidity, the things that were coming out of their mouths. I could not believe it. Like one of them insinuating that, you know, sometimes you just got to take your beating, you know. He wasn't justified. He should have just allowed that mob to attack him. And, you know, when is the line, you know? After you're dead, my friends, it is too late. You don't always, you know, have to wait and take a beating. A skateboard definitely can be a deadly weapon. Ironically, actually, today in California, there's another news story that came out. I was just reading it on my way to the studio here, and there is a man killed in California because somebody attacked him with a skateboard and hit him in the back of the head with a skateboard, and it killed him. Kyle got hit in the back of the head with a skateboard multiple times, and he was just supposed to take that beating, according to the prosecutor. It blows my mind. And then multiple times the prosecutors lied. Multiple times the prosecutors lied in the court there, lied to the jury. The unethical things that they did, withholding evidence, not disclosing all the evidence they have, not giving better quality videos to the defense attorneys. I mean, you name it. These guys, there was at least four different areas that were completely unethical, possibly illegal. And I hope that Kyle Rittenhouse sues the piss out of these people. One thing for sure, that verdict that came down on Friday, the jury coming out and saying that he is not guilty on all counts, that 2 minutes made Kyle Rittenhouse a multimillionaire. Remember Nicholas Sandman, my friends? Let me tell you something. Kyle Rittenhouse is going to get 10 times the money from the media, from these news organizations, from everybody that slandered his name, that lied about him. And I hope he goes all the way to the top. I hope he goes after President Biden, because before he was elected president, he was calling Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist. Remember, my friends, the people that Kyle shot, the people that Kyle defended himself against after he was attacked first, they were all white. The one person that maybe should have had something happen to him, that Kyle would have been justified if he took a further action, that was stomping on Kyle's head, trying to kick him in the face when he was down on the ground, was a black man. Kyle didn't do anything to him but run away. But President Biden was calling Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist. So I hope he gets his payday. I'm sure he will. I hope he has excellent lawyers that are going to come after that. He deserves it, and I hope he makes everybody pay. I really do. That kid is going to be a multimillionaire. Don't turn that dial. Stick with me. We'll be right back here with more Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. Good to be here today, Saturday afternoon with you guys. Remember that this talk station here, KSLM, we are the best. We were voted the best in the Willamette Valley. We bring you the best lineup. We have the best shows. And if you're not able to catch the shows when they're live on air, you can always go over to kslm.news and you can pull up any of the show's podcasts. Patriot Uprising Radio, my show, I have my podcast up there, and you can catch any of the previous week's shows on that podcast. And you can go back for 2 years and listen to my shows if you want to, or anybody else's shows. So it's a great tool if you're sitting there saying, man, I really wanted to hear that radio show last week and I just couldn't get on air. Go back to those podcasts and listen to those. So that's kslm.news. Remember, if you want to get a hold of me, you can do that at mickey@kslm.news. And that's M-I-C-K-Y @kslm.news. We were just talking about Kyle Rittenhouse and the verdict, and thank God he is not guilty. And we were talking about how that could have changed what the rest of us are allowed to do. It would have set a precedence for us. And basically, if he came back guilty on any of those charges, it would have stripped us of our God-given rights of self-defense. It would have almost nullified our Second Amendment. And it would have made it so we basically have to wait till we're dead before we're able to defend ourselves. That's what the prosecutor wanted. Now, this prosecutor, I hope to God he is sued. He lied. The things he did during the trial were unethical. I hope that at the very least, the bar kicks him out. I hope he has consequences and can no longer practice law. He does not deserve to practice law for the things he said, the things he did, how he mishandled that trial, and the unethical stunts that he pulled. And why? It was all political. And what would have happened if he was successful? He would have ruined an innocent person's life forever. And he can care less. He can absolutely care less. I was watching some of the things he did. Remember when he's in the courtroom and he's talking about that AR-15 and he grabs that gun and he raises it up and he points that at the jury? And I'm thinking, oh my God, is there some law, is there some unwritten rule that says that an attorney in the court, when they're trying to make a point, is allowed to break the law? Is there some exception that allows them to do things that are illegal for everybody else, but they can do it because they're in a courtroom trying to make a point, trying to put somebody in jail? When I saw that, I could not believe it, because my friends, he did break laws in my opinion. And I wish the judge would have called him on it. I wish it, you know what would have been really cool? If a sheriff in Kenosha would have came into the courtroom and arrested him for committing a crime. So I'm not familiar with all of Wisconsin's laws. I'm going to dig into that, but I'm certain that they have a law on the books. In fact, here's the ironic thing, my friends. I think some of the charges that they actually tried to charge Rittenhouse with that he was acquitted of, I bet you some of those lighter charges would also apply to the things that that prosecutor did inside that courtroom. It's illegal. It's illegal to point a firearm at somebody. Okay. In fact, here in Oregon, if you look up ORS 166.190, it's actually titled Pointing Firearm at Another. And it says, any person over the age of 12 years who, with or without malice, purposely points or aims any loaded or empty pistol, gun, revolver, or other firearm at or toward any other person within range of the firearm, except in self-defense, that person shall be fined upon conviction in any sum not less than $10 nor more than $500, or be imprisoned in the county jail not less than 10 days nor more than 6 months, or both. Justice courts have jurisdiction concurrent with the circuit court of the trial of violations of this section. When any person is charged before a justice court with violation of this section, the court shall, upon motion of the district attorney, at any time before trial act as a committing magistrate, and if probable cause is established, hold such person to the grand jury. So in Oregon, my friends, I can guarantee you that the action that that prosecutor did, raising that AR-15 inside the courtroom and pointing that AR-15 at the audience and at the jury, in Oregon, he would have broken the law. I can guarantee you that there is some type of a similar law like that in Wisconsin. I guarantee it. I'm going to find that law, and I'm going to petition that one of the county sheriffs over there in Wisconsin hold that prosecutor accountable. Now you can say, oh, was it really a big deal? You know that they cleared that weapon. They made sure that weapon was safe. There was no ammunition in that weapon. Maybe they locked it out. This law here in Oregon, ORS 166.190, none of that matters. None of that matters if that weapon was locked or cleared or loaded or unloaded. None of that matters. If you point a real firearm at somebody, you are guilty, unless the only exception is in self-defense. Now, I can't imagine that those jurors felt comfortable with that. I bet you, even though they knew that there was probably something done, some checks that took place to make that firearm so it hopefully would not be able to fire, it still is uncomfortable being on the receiving end of a barrel. I live and breathe firearms. I'm more comfortable around firearms than most people. I have a better understanding when I'm instructing, when I'm teaching my classes. Let me tell you, if a barrel is pointed in my direction, I get very uncomfortable, no matter how much I know about that firearm. I can only imagine that those jurors felt threatened in some way and felt very uncomfortable with having a firearm with an attorney that doesn't know squat about guns, this prosecutor holding this firearm with his hand on the trigger. Rule number one, my friends, you always, always point the muzzle in a safe direction. Rule number two, you always keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. And my rule number three is you always treat every firearm like it's loaded, no matter what, which means you would never point it at somebody unless it was a self-defense situation. I don't think we're going to hear the end of this. I think there are people that are probably helping Rittenhouse out, and I think there's a case being made. I think this prosecutor probably will get sued. I'm hoping Biden gets sued. I'm hoping the media gets sued. I do believe that Kyle Rittenhouse will be a multimillionaire. But here's the other half of it. The fact that it ever got to this point is a shame, because we know, my friends, that it is 100% political. 100%. Kyle almost had his life stripped from him for political reasons. The courts, the justice system was used as a political weapon against an innocent teenager. And everybody should raise their eyebrows to that. Everybody should be concerned about that. Because if it can happen to Kyle Rittenhouse, my friends, it can happen to you and I. And here's the other thing about that. Why did this happen? This happened because justice failed anyway. The government failed. Law enforcement failed. Now, I am the biggest fan of law enforcement. You guys know that. But the riots that were allowed to take place in Kenosha, Wisconsin should have never happened. There should have been a stop put to it immediately. The National Guard should have been called out on day one. Those people should have never done what they did. They should have never been allowed to get away with doing the things that they did. So many of them have not even been prosecuted. They committed felony crimes. They burnt down businesses. They destroyed property, and they hurt people, and they're not even being prosecuted. Nobody went after these people, yet they went after the innocent person that was there to protect others. That should have never taken place. If people had done their jobs, if government had done its job, if they had put a stop to this, there would have been no reason for a person like Kyle Rittenhouse to go down there and feel like it was necessary for him to be there to protect people. And is he wrong for doing what he did? I'd argue that most patriots should do that. I would argue that if more patriots would stand up and do what Kyle Rittenhouse did, we wouldn't have groups like BLM and Antifa pushing us around and destroying our communities. It's time for us to fight. If the government's not going to do it, if law enforcement's not going to do it, eventually we're going to be pushed hard enough, far enough, and we're going to stand up for ourselves. And you know what? More people maybe should have been side by side with Kyle Rittenhouse. I'm out of time, my friends. God bless you guys. Stay safe out there. It's a good day. Kyle Rittenhouse is acquitted of all charges. Thank the Lord, my friends. We'll catch you next week right here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.